Genesis chapter 8, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 12 today. Genesis chapter 8, verses 1 through 12. But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and all the livestock that were with him in the ark. And he sent a wind over the earth. And the waters receded. Now the springs of the deep and the floodgates of the heavens had been closed, and the rain had stopped falling. Please, Lord. From the sky. The water receded steadily from the earth. At the end of the 150 days, the water had gone down. And on the 17th day of the seventh month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. The waters continued to recede until the 10th month, and on the first day of the 10th month, the tops of the mountains became visible. After 40 days, Noah opened the windows and he made in the ark and sent out a raven, and it kept flying back and forth until the water had dried up from the earth. Then he sent out a dove to see if the water had receded from the surface of the ground. But the dove could find no place to set its feet because there was water over all the surface of the earth. So it returned to Noah in the ark. He reached out his hand and took the dove and brought it back to himself in the ark. He waited 7 more days and sent out again the dove from the ark. When the dove returned to him in the evening, there in its beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. Then Noah knew that the water had receded from the earth. He waited 7 more days and sent out the dove again, but this time it did not return to him. Let's pray together as we come to God's Word this morning. Well, Father, we just thank you for your Word. We thank you for the truths that you give us. We thank you, Father, that this is your Word and your truths. So we just ask, Lord, that in this time that you would send your Spirit, that he would direct us and guide us in the truths that you have for us and the words that you want us to hear and understand and to take to heart. And so, Father, we just ask that you would be involved in this in all things, that nothing of man would be here, Father, but only what you have for us. We just lift this all up to you now, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to ask you a question. How many of you have gone through turbulent times in your life? Gee, I've got a lot of smiles. Yeah. Yeah. Haven't we all gone through turbulent times of one sort or another? You know, but think about it. What carried you through those times? What was the thing that got you through? God did. Yeah. For Lynn. Yeah. How about the rest of you? Yeah. You know, if you're a believer in Christ, then, you know, does that make a difference in those turbulent times we go through? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it should. Did our relationship with God get us through those times? Yeah. Why? How?
He
knows what we're going through. He's right there.
You can draw your strength from him.
Yeah, we draw our strength from him and our peace at times when we need it. You know, speaking for myself and Sherry, we've gone through some really turbulent times, and it was our faith that carried us through, because we knew that we were in God's hands, and no matter what, his will would be worked out. We just have to be willing to accept what his will is. Was it easy to go through those turbulent times? No way. It wasn't easy for any of us. At times, it seemed like, you know, it would never end. Would we really make it through? You know, Sherry and I looked at each other at times. When's this going to stop? You know, I'm sure you've said that. But if we trust in the Lord to get us through those turbulent times, no matter what comes, he will get us through. He has promised to never leave us. That he would be with us through all our troubles, through all the turbulent times, that he would be with us to carry us through, to never forsake us. Do we remember that in those times? Or do we let the times overwhelm us? Well, in verses 1 and 2, we have to remember that Noah and his family are stuck in this ark for a long time, through some very turbulent times. In verses 1 and 2, it says, "But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark, and he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded. Now the springs of the deep and the floodgates of the heavens had been closed, and the rain stopped falling from the sky." Now, I want you to think about this. You're stuck. I mean, we think being quarantined in our homes for a couple months, but everybody encouraged to go outside and enjoy the sunshine and all that stuff. We think about it, that was terrible times. Could you imagine 5 months stuck in an ark with probably about 1,700 different kinds of animals, having to shovel the manure every day, having to feed them every day, having to make sure they had water every day, and wondering if that sound that was hitting the roof or the waves that were bashing against the side of the ark would ever stop. When will it end, Lord? When will it end? But God does three things to stop the destruction that's coming upon the earth. First, and to cause the water to recede from the earth. First, he shuts the springs of the earth up from flowing. He stops the rain from falling, and then he causes a great wind to come upon the earth. Now, for those of you who were in church last Sunday, do you remember what I asked you to keep in mind? Nobody remembers. The springs of the deep. Remember I said, keep that in mind. The springs of the deep. That they were flowing, and then God shuts them off. They were flowing so much that they were emptying themselves of all the water that was in them. What would be the result of all those springs being emptied? Anybody ever watched Journey to the Center of the Earth? It's a pretty cool movie where these people go down to the depths of the earth and they find these great chasms under the earth that they can... There was an ocean in one of them and places they could walk through, jungles and all kinds of stuff. These great chasms that were in the deep. I want you to keep that in mind as we go on here. So the water has stopped coming upon the earth. Now God causes this wind to come over the whole earth. Some people have equated the wind with the energizing of the Holy Spirit on the first day of creation, where he hovers over the waters, energizing them to create the land and separate land from water. Lifting up the land, in a sense. So some people say, is this again the work of the Holy Spirit, or work of God, the Trinity, in recreating again? We don't know if this applies here or not, because we're not told. But we do know that God, the three in one, is involved in what's going on here. John writes in John 1:3, "Through him, Jesus, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made." See, Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Father are all involved in what's going on here. They weren't ignorant to any of this. You have to wonder if it could be that he was creating, using his creating power here to work again, to remold, and beginning to separate the land from the water again. We don't know, but the great wind that came would have had enormous effect on the surface of the water and everything below it. With the vapor canopy gone, remember, when God created the earth, it was a perfect greenhouse. It was a perfect temperature for growing things and on all that. And, you know, everywhere you went on the earth, it was the same temperature, the same kind of climate, everywhere. But now that the floodgates of heaven were open and all the rain had come down, the vapor canopy that covered the earth is gone. So, with this great wind, there would be sharp temperature changes now upon the earth. How many would like to have lived on the north or south pole right about then? Could you imagine as this wind starts to evaporate all the water that's on the earth, especially around the earth's equator? All that water that's starting to evaporate, where's it going to head? It's going to go to the poles and it's going to start snowing. And then imagine what this shoreless ocean would have been like with great waves forming from the wind and the currents that it would have created. Did you ever get stuck on a lake in a rowboat when the windstorm comes up? Did you ever try to row against that? I got stuck off of Long Island Sound one day with a 67-year-old man who had heart condition, and the motor died on the boat we were in. And all I had was a 16-foot wood rowboat. All I had was oars. The wind, the shore was there. The wind was blowing that way, and the current was going that way. I am rowing and getting nowhere. I'm going backwards. So finally, I got ourselves tied off to a boat. It's no fun to be against that. Could you imagine the turbulent times that were on the earth at that time and what the ark was going through? You know, when God designed the ark for Noah, he knew what he was doing. He had Noah build it so it wouldn't flip over from the currents and the wind and the waves. The wind blowing would have caused all that evaporation. And that evaporation would have been cooled on the poles, and snow would have started to fall on the poles over the waters, which probably had started to turn to ice. What are some characteristics of Mars? This is a whacked out thing. I'm just going to throw this in to see if you're paying attention. What are some of the characteristics of Mars? Anybody know?
There's an ice cap
area. Okay, it looks like it was formed with water and, you know, water. Well, there are some people who have wondered if some of the water from the earth, with the wind being so bad, wasn't swept out into space and washed over some of the planets. You know, I'm going to say that would have had to have been a supernatural event to have something like that happen. I don't think it would have. I think God had a plan for what he had here. But I just, you know, there's some wild ideas out there about where some of this water might have gone. All right, so what did I ask you to keep in mind earlier?
Fountains of the deep.
Ah, the fountains of the deep and the great empty chasms that are there. Now I want you to think about the water and the waves that are pounding on the surface of the planet. Think about these chasms. That pressure would start to make them collapse so that the water would then would drop down in to fill them up. What are some of the deepest places in the ocean? Anybody know? The Pacific Trench, the Marianas Trench.
Yeah.
Do you know, off of the coast of Arabia, are some of the, in the Red Sea, there are some of the deepest parts of the ocean as well. But ironically, there's a strip that's only about, I think they said 150 feet deep, that's wide enough to land a 747 on, that goes from Sinai over to Saudi Arabia. Gee, remember when God used a great wind to separate the waters so Moses and all the people of Israel could pass across? Ironically, that there's that one spot in that deepest parts of the ocean there for people to pass across. So these great chasms would start to fill with water. And with all the power of the wind working on that water, that pressure would push down and create more of those chasms to collapse, creating deep, deep places in the ocean. And this would begin to give the water a place to run off to, draining the oceans. Then, think about what happens when you get dirt really wet. Sticks to your feet. Doesn't it get soft? Can you imagine Earth completely saturated with water? It's going to start to move. Did you ever see mudslides? Could you imagine enormous mudslides under the ocean? this earth moving back and forth. And then guess what's happening now? All this pressure from the wind pushing down on the water, all this water moving, the currents that it's creating, the earth that is starting to move, cracks are going to come in the mantle of the earth. And those cracks are going to allow volcanic activity to start to take place. See, that volcanic activity would create this violence below the waters of the earth. Turn with me to Psalm 104. Psalm 104. In Psalm 104, in verses 6 to 9, the psalmist writes, "You covered it, the earth, with the deep as a garment." I'll start over again. "You covered it with the deep as a garment. The waters stood above the mountains, but at your rebuke the waters fled. At the sound of your thunder they took flight. They flowed over the mountains. They went down into the valleys to the place you assigned for them. You set a boundary they cannot cross. Never again will they cover the earth." The psalmist writes here accounting what God was doing in this point of the flood, where God is changing the surface of the earth so that the waters would have some place to go. What causes tsunamis? You guys are getting your education here this morning. Just
the tectonic plates with a bunch of pressure.
Okay. So think of this. Now we've got volcanoes bursting off in the bottom of the ocean. What's starting to happen with the land? It's starting to move. So you're getting these gigantic waves that are going over the earth, creating more havoc that Noah and everybody who's in the ark with him has to ride out. You think it was a fun time in the ark? You know, were they singing Kumbaya? Let's have s'mores? I don't think so. They were going through some turbulent times with the cracks in the mantle and the volcanic activity that would be so great, they would be pushing up of land from the ocean floors, giving more places for the water to run off. All the sediment that was lifted off the surface of the earth, now it's all, think of all this. Remember the illustration I had? Take a jar with some dirt and water and shake it. What happens? All the sediment stays up top while the heavy stuff starts to settle out. Well, that's now starting to happen across the whole planet. So there's this sedimentary layering of the earth, which would begin to form new continents or a continent. We'll get to that one some other time. I need to stop here and give you a disclaimer. We need to understand that all of this is speculation of how it may have happened. But from what we observe in nature today and in the world today, it seems a very probable hypothesis. Something that evolutionists refuse to admit. See, their idea of how it happened is complete speculation, but they won't say that. They won't admit that. Nobody, only God knows, because only He was there. Noah knew. His sons knew, then they wrote it down for us so that we would have that understanding. See, God gives us this information to take along with us. So all of this great violence is going on in the earth in verses 3 and 4. "The water receded steadily from the earth. At the end of 150 days, the water had gone down. And on the 17th day of the 7th month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat." So think of all this. All of this volcanic activity, all of this earth moving, things are starting to push up. Ever been up to the Branham Lakes? The Branham Lakes are lakes that are up on top of the mountain here. If you drive, as you're driving in, what do you see as you look up around the top of that? It's a volcanic mouth. It's the mouth of a volcano that's blown out. It's an old dead volcano that blew out. If you drive up in there, you can see the whole mouth, and with the one side blown out where it came down. Any of you have the Windows 10 where you get these, when you start your computer up, you get these pictures? The latest one I had was Kelimutu Lakes in Indonesia, formed by volcanic activity. Three lakes, all different colors at different times because of the volcanic activity. We see this evidence every day. See, with the Earth's crust moving and volcanic activity working on these great volcanic mountains, they would be rising up from the depths of the ocean floor above the water, building mountains and mountain ranges across the Earth. And this would create places where volcanic rock would be deposited in large fields. Anybody ever been to, Linda, you've been to the Sierra Nevadas, right? Yeah. Do you ever see the lava fields down there? Or, what is it, craters of the moon?
Yeah.
Those are lava fields. Those are all evidence of this activity that was going on. This would have been a time when the water would have been running off the earth, sculpting the land. How many of you have ever come off the top of a mountain, you're coming down to a valley, and you see the hills washed out where you could see water drained down through those? You know, all that evidence is there. The rivers and the lakes of modern day even give evidence of one time carrying more water than they ever did today in turbulent times. And then the ark comes to rest on one of the higher mountains of the Ararat Range. Now, these mountains were formed by volcanic forces and are filled, and how do we know that? Because they're filled with pillow lava. Pillow lava is a dense rock formation that was formed under great depths of water. So it had to be in the deep parts of the ocean that they started building and forming. Does anybody remember how high Mount Ararat is? 17,000 feet above sea level. And there's pillow lava in it. And then there are sedimentary layers of rock there with marine fossils in them. Gee, how did they get there? You know, we were talking the other day around breakfast about mountaintops here that I've been on that have seashells all over the top of them. Gee, where'd that come from? Somebody had a pocket full and they came up and they kept dumping them out, right? I don't think so. The entire mountain range later became known as Ararat. So it's not, we can't say it was Mount Ararat. It was this mountain range where the ark landed. In fact, in 2 Kings, the king of Assyria is murdered one day by his sons because he didn't do too well fighting against Israel. And it says that they cut him down with a sword and they escaped to the land of Ararat. That's to this area there. And Ararat is the Hebrew form. The Greek is Armenia. Did you ever hear of Armenia?
What?
Yeah. East of Turkey. So that's where it went. So the ark is landed upon this mountain. And it would have been one that's higher in one of the higher ones in the range because it grounds in the water, just not enough water to hold it up. And then they have to wait for the water to still go down from it. So, over the centuries, there have been expeditions to go and try to find the ark. And many reports have come back about people who have quote-unquote found it, but they had so little documentation that it couldn't back up their claims. Does anybody remember the movie, the Russian movie Anastasia? Okay. Do you remember what time of year, what time of history that movie was supposed to have taken place? During the Russian Revolution. The Tsar of Russia, just before the Russian Revolution, sent an expedition to the mountains of Ararat to find where the ark was. They say they found a great deal of evidence, but when they came back, the Russian Revolution was going, the Tsar was dead, his family was dead, you know, and so on. So the evidence really never got documented. So the ark comes to rest on the mountainside. Think about this. It's gone through these turbulent times. It's gone through these winds and the rain and the water and the being tossed back and forth. In fact, if you ever get to go to the ark in in Kentucky, you'll see that when they designed the lamps, the oil lamps, they rotate. So that when the boat was rocking, the lamp would rotate and wouldn't spill the oil out. Okay? So the ark has gone through all of this turbulent time. But it made it through. It made it through all those that turbulence, and it finished its mission, and it came to rest. It came to rest on the side of this mountain. Just as God rested from His work of creation on the seventh day, the Sabbath. Just as Jesus, when He had finished His mission to bring salvation to all who would receive Him, rested on His work when it was finished. In John 19:30, it says, when He had received the drink, Jesus said, "It's finished." And with that, He bowed His head and gave up His spirit. It was done. His work of salvation was done. The ark's work of salvation was done, and now it could rest. But this made such an impact on these people. It's made such an impact so that they actually remembered the date. The 17th day of the 7th month, July 17th. No, I'm just just kidding. Whatever the calendar, they use the Hebrew calendar likely. So it would have been the 17th day of the 7th month. See, those in the ark had come through such turbulent times that now the ark is at rest. And they're like, "Well, write this down. We're done. Finally, we made it through." Okay? They knew that they had gotten through the worst. And they knew that it was over, and now the best is yet to come for them. They had ridden out a very turbulent 5 months. Verses 5 to 12. The waters continued to recede until the 10th month, and on the first day of the 10th month, at the tops of the mountains became visible. After 40 days, Noah opened the window he had made in the ark and sent out a raven, and it kept flying back and forth until the water had dried up from the earth. Then he sent out a dove to see if the water had receded from the surface of the ground. But the dove could find no place to set its feet because there was water over all the surface of the earth. So it returned to Noah in the ark. He reached out his hand and took the dove and brought it back to himself in the ark. He waited 7 more days, and again sent out the dove from the ark. When the dove had returned to him in the evening, in its beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. Then Noah knew that the water had receded from the earth, and he waited 7 more days and sent the dove out again. But this time it did not return. Can you imagine that? You land, waits 40 days, sends out a raven, no place to stay. Sits, comes back, waits another week, sends out a dove, comes back, no place to stay. Sends out, waits another week. When is this waiting going to end? You know, could you imagine how they were feeling? Like, "Lord, when have we had enough of this? When are we done with these turbulent times? We made it through the flood, and thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for that. You know, but when is this going to end? When are we going to be able to get out of this boat?" Who would know when it would be safe to leave the ark? God would. God knew the time when it was right for them to make the next step. So after 2.5 months, they could see the tops of the mountains around them. After 2.5 months, they look out the windows and they go like, "Oh, look, I can see peaks." Now remember how the ark was built. They couldn't see down below them. They could only see out. So they couldn't see what was happening right at their feet. How many times do we get so caught up with what's happening right at our feet, we miss the big picture of what's going on around us? Where God's trying to say, "Nope, step back. Look at the big picture. Look at the big picture of what I'm doing here. I am doing a work, and you've got to be patient with me in this." And then after, 40 days later, He sends out the raven. No place. I can only imagine how impatient I would be at this point. I would be like, "I'm done with this, Lord. I'm busting this door open and I'm getting out of here." You know, and I'm sure Noah was tempted at a time or two. Maybe he wasn't. He was a godly man. Maybe he wasn't, but I know I would have been tempted to say, I got to bust out of here. I'm going crazy in this place. So again, he goes through sending out the doves and waiting and waiting and waiting. And then the dove comes back with the olive leaf in its mouth. It's like, oh, hope, hope. The seedlings are starting to grow along the mountainside. Things are getting better. Then he sends it out again and it doesn't return. It found a safe place to build its nest. Oh good, we're getting closer to the end of this turbulence. How great it would have been for them to have that hope, these little glimmers of hope that God gives them each time as they're waiting and waiting through these turbulent times. The turbulent times were over for them now, and the occupants of the ark now rested safely in God's will for them, waiting for God to lead them to the next step of their journey. Isn't that the hardest time of a hardest part of turbulent times, is waiting to be able to take that next step? How often do we want to run ahead and say, no, I think I want to do it now? When God's saying, no, not yet, it's not time yet. But their faith carried them through those turbulent times. Hebrews 11:7 says, by faith Noah, when warned about the things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By faith he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness that comes by faith. See, Noah trusted in God for the salvation that God offered him, and now he has to trust God for when it's time to take the next step of his journey. You know, maybe we're in the midst of some turbulent times right now. We need to trust that God will get us through them, that He will make clear and evident to us when it's time to take the next step. I want you to think about what Jesus underwent. He underwent a flood of suffering, but came through victoriously. He suffered so that we could have the hope that we would need for the turbulent times that we would face in the days ahead. In Hebrews chapter 2, you'll find it, verses 10 to 11, it says, in bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering, both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. If Jesus had to suffer to be tested, to be shown holy, shouldn't we as God's people expect that God's going to test us at times to say, are you trusting me? Are you standing in your faith to know that I will get you through this? But the promise of this comes in chapter 4 of Hebrews, verses 14 to 16. It says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. See, the promise is that because of what Jesus went through, what he suffered, he understands what we're going through. He understands the turbulent times in our life. He understands the temptations to want to run ahead of God. He understands how we feel so impatient and so frustrated with what's going on in our lives. But he says, I have made you an opportunity to come and approach the throne of grace with confidence so that God can help us in those times. That we can go into the throne room of God and get on our face before Him and say, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing here. I don't know what the next step is. I don't know when the next step is. But I know You do. And I know You show me. And You'll give me the grace that I need to get through to that time. That's how Noah and his family had to have felt as they waited all that time on the ark. They were on the ark for a year before God said, okay, it's safe. For a year, they waited and trusted God. Noah and his family trusted God for the salvation that he promised them. And they came through the turbulent times because they were holding firm to God's word. They weren't disappointed with the outcome. When the ark landed and it came to become anchored onto firm ground, I'm sure they went, oh, whew, we made it. See, Romans 10:11 says, as the scripture says, anyone who trusts in God will never be put to shame. Noah and his family were not put to shame that day. They said God did what he said he was going to do. See, we need to hold firm to the truths of God. We need to hold firm to his word so that we will not be disappointed by the outcome either. You know, we all go through turbulent times. Trusting God for what he has for us in those turbulent times is not easy, even if it's not what our will would want his will to be. Some of you know that Wednesday night we prayed for our friend and friends in the Barrows family. Dave Barrows passed away last week of cancer. The night before he died, wow, he wrote on Facebook, I trust God for what he's doing in my life. I trust him for what his will is for me, no matter what the outcome is. And the next morning he went home to be with the Lord. He could trust God in that. We can trust God for where we are in our turbulent times. Noah and his family trusted God. They were in the ark. They were there because they accepted the promise that God had for them. See, we have a promise in Christ that if we are in Christ, we will receive the strength that we need to get through the turbulent times. And the way we get in Christ is to receive him as our Lord and Savior and then live by faith in his work for us. Not what we have to do to please God, but what God has already done for us. And to receive that work, trusting him to carry us through no matter what we might face in the days ahead, because we know that one day our ship is going to land and we are going to be on the other side. We're going to fellowship with Dave and others who have gone ahead of us, and we're going to rejoice that we trusted in God and waited for him to move in our lives and to direct our lives. So I'd ask us today, when we get frustrated, when we go, Lord, I just want to know what the next step is, to stop and think about Noah. Noah and his family were put on hold for a year because God was doing something greater, something that would bless many, many others. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for your love and your grace that you give us. We thank you for the examples that you give us out of scriptures, Lord, of people who have faced such turbulent times and have come through because they have trusted you. We thank you, Father, that in your grace you give us opportunity to come to you in faith, that we might trust you in through Jesus, Lord, to get us through those turbulent times, that we might know your hand moving and directing and guiding us each step of the way as we wait for your guiding and direction. Thank you, Father, for what you're going to do. We thank you for your grace and mercy that you give us. And we just rest in that today. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You want to grab your